a couple weeks ago felt that God was telling me to share. When we worry too much about other people's opinions on us, it really can affect our walk with God. And then Pastor Steve last week, he was talking about David and Goliath and how no one thought that David would be able to slay Goliath, but David knew in his heart, and he was confident that God was with him, so he did, and it was, he didn't let the opinions of others affect what he did for God. So, are we trying to please man, or are we trying to please God? So first, I wanted to talk about just a few facts. 25% of the people that you meet and that meet you won't like you anyway. So out of 100 people, 25 people, no matter what you do, you could buy them a house, a car, anything, and do everything for them, and they will never like you. So the other 25%, they don't like you either, but they could be persuaded to change, you know, their mind could be persuaded to change, and they may like you. 25% like you, but could be persuaded not to like you by somebody else's opinion. So the last 25% of the people, including your mom, your dad, your brothers, love you, like you, no matter what you do, they will always like you and love you. So think about that. 50% of the people that you meet may or may not change their mind about you. So it really doesn't matter what other people's opinions are, but by nature, we really do worry about what other people think. Do you like my hair? Do you like the clothes that I have on? You know, I just bought this new car. I just bought this new house. What do you think? And we can't forget about social media. Social media. How many likes did I get on Facebook today for the selfie that I just took? Or how many fans are following me on TikTok or Instagram? Galatians 1:10 says, Paul wrote, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Caring so much about what others think can often and will lead to bad decisions and even sometimes sin. Some people try to impress others by buying things they really can't afford. I had this one neighbor years ago that had this big, huge, beautiful house. And because this is being recorded, I won't say much more about that, but she had this big, beautiful house, and I wondered how, because I know what their jobs were, you know, and I thought, how in the world do they afford all this stuff and all these name brand clothes and all this stuff? Well, one time she ended up divulging to me that they were in severe debt, and I thought, is that even worth it? Like, to just try to impress others by buying things that we really can't afford, and just going into debt to have a nicer house, a better car, living beyond our means is not a good way to live at all. And Proverbs 13:7 says, "One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. And yet another person pretends to be poor and has great wealth." Someone could be ashamed of their job, so they lie about it. Trying to build themselves up instead of saying, "Hey, I'm a street sweeper or a garbage man or something," they may lie and say they're the director of something. So that's, you know, deceit and lying. And, you know, somebody might, their family might be hounding them about, "When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? You got to get married. You're getting older." So they may actually marry the wrong person, you know, just to get married so their family stops hounding them. And instead of waiting for God, who God has for them, they may marry the wrong person. And you know, you don't want to be offensive to your friends and or appear rude, so you may join in on ungodly activities in fear of what your friends may think. So what if, for example, you are hearing from God? What if you're hearing, hey, you don't really need to be going out boozing it up with your buddies? Or ladies, you may hear, do you really need to be drinking all that wine when you're socializing with your girlfriends? Maybe it's not what God has for your life. People may laugh at you or say, what are you, serious? A few glasses of wine or a few beers won't hurt you. The reality is, if you are not ready to be criticized for following God, then you are not ready to be used by Him. So if you can't be criticized for following Him, then you are not, He's not going to use you. So remember, as a follower of Jesus, we have to make choices every day. And sometimes to follow Him, it means we have a struggle every day. We are human, and we do truly care what others think. Will we lose some of our friends? Yeah. You know, I've been there, guys. Like, I used to go out all the time in my 20s and very early 30s. And I remember sitting in a bar one night, and I said to my friend, you know, this isn't me. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. There's got to be something more than this. And did I lose all my friends? I did. The girl that I was sitting there with, she is a Christian, and I'm still friends with her. But all those other people that we partied with and hung out with, I don't even talk to them anymore. Am I still surviving? Yep, I am. So we have to live for an audience of one, and that is God. We should not care about what others think about us. It really just, in the end, our friends are not going to be there on Judgment Day. It's going to be us and God. And really want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the easiest way to forget about what others think about us is to be obsessed with what God thinks about us and how He sees us. The easiest way to forget about what God says about us is really worrying about what others think about us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, can you imagine being Mary and Joseph? Mary was an unwed, teenaged, pregnant woman who was marked back in those days. Very young, said unwed, teenager. She could have been stoned to death. And Joseph, who is now also marked, because back in the day, even being engaged meant pretty much that you were married. So no other father would want him for their daughter. So he was marked, and Joseph wanted to bail and divorce her quietly. He wanted to, just, you know, he really did love her, so he didn't want her stoned. He didn't want to put her to shame, so he just wanted to do it quietly. So all that, being said, in Luke, it tells us an angel appeared to Mary and said, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And in Matthew 1:20, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. You know, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. But can you imagine all the whispering and gossip that went on? Like, you know, I saw him at her house in the middle of the night on a camel, or, you know, or a donkey, I guess, whatever it was, a donkey. But there would have been gossiping, because here she was pregnant. They weren't married yet. Nobody other than them two knew that it was God who conceived. So they, you know, really had to put their faith in God and just go forth and have the baby and know that, you know, it was going to be Jesus. So pleasing God often means disappointing others. Fear not. Don't worry about what people say about you and follow what God has for you. For example, maybe you have a really good job and it pays really well, but God wants you to take a less paying job because he feels that you would make a much better, maybe he has somebody that you need to witness to or something. So people are going to say to you, why would you give up all that money and take a less paying job? And if you say to them, because I feel like God told me to, they're going to laugh at you. You know, they laughed at Jesus. So they're going to, you know, you need to just follow God and what his plans are for you so he can bless you. Maybe God wants you to live well below your means so you can be generous to other people and help them out financially. What simple act of obedience does God have for each one of us? And if we are always worried about what others think of us or what somebody else is saying about us, then we can't just be ourselves and do what God has for us to do. We're too busy trying to live up to what everyone else thinks that we should be. And I really used to care what people thought about me when I would pray out loud for people, because I don't sound as eloquent as some of us do. But honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, we are told to just talk to Jesus. So even though I may not go on and on and on and pray eloquently, I just don't care because I'm just praying what I feel like I should pray. And back in 2005, we had a Hope Fest here on the property. And I remember going around, Pastor Kurt and Eileen said, the people that feel comfortable praying with people stand in this line. And the people that don't feel comfortable praying for people stand over here. Well, back then I was over here. So they mixed us up so we would go with people that, you know, so there would be a mixture. And I actually got, I was with Pastor Kurt, his son, and my niece Hannah. And so we went around and we were praying, or going door to door asking them, people with the flyer, inviting them to New Hope. And I remember, Pastor Kurt prayed, Justin prayed, Hannah prayed, and then they're like, okay, the next house is yours. And I'm like, oh, you know. So I never had prayed out loud for anyone. So I did. But on the way home, I was by myself driving home, and I felt God saying, there was a lady out it was a bank, and it was a rock garden, kind of. And I remember I felt God impressed upon me, you need to stop and pray for her. And I thought, I don't have Hannah and Pastor Kurt with me. I can't stop and pray for her. And I kept driving, and I really felt God saying, you missed it. You missed it. So when I went back, and I'm not telling you this to boast me at all, because I didn't want to do it. But if we don't obey in the little things, he's not going to give us the big things. And so I thought, I don't want to miss it. You know, so I went back. I still had a flyer. I said to her, I walked up to her, and I'm like, this is really weird, you know, but I really felt like God wanted me to stop and pray for you. And she's like, oh. She's like, well, I'm fine, but my husband isn't. And she turned around and pointed to her husband on the porch. And she said, come down here, honey. And I thought, oh, gosh, because for that split second, I thought, phew, she doesn't need anything. I don't have to pray for her. So he actually came down and said that he had fluid around his heart and all this major stuff. And I was like, oh. So I just prayed for him. And when I left, I thought to myself, well, how am I going to know if that ever worked? Like, how am I going to know if that prayer worked? Like, I obeyed, but I'm not going to find out. Well, I was a nurse at the hospital, and it was so weird because I knew the last name because we introduced ourselves when I walked up. And I remember a guy was in the hospital with that last name, so I just asked them, hey, do you happen to know so-and-so? And he's like, yeah, he's my brother. Hi. And I told him what happened, and I said, I was just wondering, like, how he was. And he's like, oh, my gosh, he's so good. The fluid around his heart went away, and blah, 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 he's doing good. And I was like, oh, my God. And I remember going out to the desk, calling Pastor Kurt, saying, it worked. It worked. You know? Another lady that I worked with at a doctor's office, she actually went for a mammogram and came back to work that day and got a call that they had a spot on her breast. So she had to go, she didn't get a call. She looked on the computer, which she shouldn't have done. So she called and wanted an ultrasound done that day. And I had never talked to her about God. We just didn't talk about that. And I thought to myself, I didn't think to myself, it was pressed upon me to pray for her. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to do that. She'll think I'm nuts and blah, blah, blah. Well, it was in February and it was snowing and she was outside smoking. And I didn't smoke and I went out with my coat and I'm like, she goes, what are you doing? Cold outside, And I said, well, like God wants me to pray for you. And she's like, thank you so much, I can use all the prayer. And I'm like, well, I kind of need now. And she's like, okay. So I just prayed whatever and went back in, and she came back from her appointment and kind of just fell into her chair and was crying. And I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, that didn't work, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, it's gone. Like, they didn't see anything. It's gone. So I just feel that, like, God will use you if you obey and just, who cares what people think? We are not going to move. And we are supposed to be his feet and his hands. And if we don't step out and do what he is calling us to do, who's going to do it? Like, he is living in each one of us. So we are, I don't know what scripture it says it, but we are to be his hands and his feet, and we're to do more than what he did. So I think, if he's living in us and we're supposed to do more than what he did, look at everything that he did. And we're not doing anything really that we're supposed to be doing. So another thing is, like, are you afraid to witness because of what others might think? Are you afraid that, you might get made fun of or that people will laugh at you? Do you turn off your Christian music when your friends are around, or do you still listen to it? Are you afraid to tell your friends that you can't go do something with them? Do you make up a lie, or do you say, I really can't do that activity because Jesus wouldn't want me to do that? Or do you say, I'm busy, I can't go? Like, do you say why you can't do it? Matthew 10:33, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And God can't use us if we are afraid to offend other people with the truth. So caring what others think could also lead to a watered-down gospel and a people-pleasing church instead of a God-pleasing Bible church, Bible-teaching church. I once heard about a couple that were having friends come visit the next weekend, and they asked their pastors, hey, you kind of hold off next week on the gifts of the Spirit. Please don't talk in tongues. I don't want my friends to think we're weird. So I don't know about all of you, but I loved today's service. The worship. Like, it was just words from God that he gave Pastor Steve and Marie. And, like, that's what I want. And I know when Pastor Steve and Becky came, and I know Susie was one of them because you stood there with me, Susie, and said to them, please don't let this be a seeker-friendly church. Please don't turn it into that. I would rather have 60 of us that want to follow God, that want Him to pour into us, that want the gifts of the Spirit to move, than have 300 people in here fill in the church. It doesn't matter the number of the seats that are filled in here, you guys. If 40 or 60 of us are strong, God will use us mightily. Like, it doesn't matter to fill. It's not about numbers. It's about our heart. And I'm so glad that you guys didn't turn it into a seeker-friendly church. And that you still let the Spirit move. Ephesians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing to men, but to God who examines our hearts. And I'm not saying we shouldn't care at all. Like, we still need to be humble. We still need to take, you know, correction. And we still need to listen to authority when needed. But when God tells you or asks you to do something, just do it. You know, it doesn't matter what your brother or sister thinks or your friends. It just doesn't matter. And if we can't do the little things He asks us, then He won't give us the big things, and He will pass us up and ask somebody else that will do it. And the opinions from others are very powerful, and sometimes it can be so negative it can lead to destruction. People can destroy their lives, their careers, family, and even others. You must know who you are in Christ and what God has made you to be, and not find your worth in other people's opinions. Values have nothing to do with how much money you make, what brand clothes you have, what shoes you are wearing, what type of car you drive, or how big your house is. You can have all these valuable things, but not have value yourself. And you don't need anyone to tell you how valuable you are, because the Bible already says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that means you came from the womb already with value, respect, and authority. You are not what others say you are. That is their opinion, and honestly, that's not our business to know their opinion. Like, what they think of us is really not our business. It doesn't matter what they think of you. And are you aware of what is influencing your life? How do we shut down the influences in our lives that oppose God? There are some clear warning signs that something is not right with our lives. James 4:1-3 tells us that anger, bitterness, envy, quarreling, backbiting, gossiping, slander, they are clear warning signs that something isn't right. And we can give Jesus our hearts, but until we give Him our minds and give Him complete control of our minds, we are going to be corrupted. We're going to be corrupted by culture and the opinions of others. And if we don't intentionally give Him our minds, the enemy will destroy us, or at least try to. You hear all those, maybe I shouldn't do this, or, you know. So you really have to be confident in who you are and what God has for you to get rid of all that enemy chattering in your ear. Like, I'm not good enough, you know. I don't have the nicest clothes. My car is kind of rusty. You know, it doesn't matter what others think of us. If your love for God and other people is growing, your worldview most likely is fine. But if you're finding that you're not loving the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors as yourself, then that's a warning sign, maybe, that something isn't quite right. We may not have even noticed that we have made friends with the world and have become enemies of God. If we let Jesus change our minds through us, he will change the world. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. We will only have a Christian worldview by constantly reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing the scriptures. We cannot know God without knowing his word. And find godly stuff to do and fill your mind with it. You know, instead of doing stuff that the world would have you do, hang out with people that love God and want to change the world like you. And I'm not saying you can't hang out with other people, because I know we hang out with people that, and we talk about Jesus and God all the time with them. You know, so it's not like you can't hang out with people that don't know God, because you are actually, Jesus hung out with drunks and prostitutes and stuff. So it's not like you can't hang out with them, because that might be what God has for you to do. And it's also, Proverbs tells us, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. And all of us, including myself, have a past. And not all of us have a dark past, but some of us do, and I do. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, I'm never going back there. And I just don't want others to make me feel like I haven't changed, because I have. And I think when you're confident in what God has for you and what he's done for you and how he has saved you, that you don't ever have to go back. You know, he says that he has forgotten as far as the east from the west. But do we? Like, the enemy keeps bringing it up. Keeps bringing it up. I did this or I did that. Like, when are we going to forgive ourselves like God has forgiven us? So I know that was really short. I'm done before 12. But I just feel that, you know, really wanted to share, you know, and it was probably mostly for me to study it, that it doesn't matter what other people's opinions are of you. It really matters what God's opinion is, because on Judgment Day, no one is going to be there. We're not going to have our cars or our houses or our name brand clothes, you know. We're not going to have our money. We are going to be face-to-face with Jesus, and he is going to, you know, we're going to be judged by what we did for him, not, you know, what, I don't know, what I'm trying to say. I'm not a preacher, but I just feel that, you know, we're going to stand face-to-face with him, and are we going to have him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? I, for one, want that. And I am going to work on it. We are all work in progress. If anyone tells you they're there, they're deceived. Because we are all trying to fight this. And, you know, I had a person stop at the garage last night that something awful has happened to him. And, this just came upon me to pray for him. So I'm just going to say it because it's in the newspapers and everything. We have not a close friend, but somebody that we've gotten to know over the years, that he was out. He's hunted, 33 years with this group of people. And it was last November, and it was elk hunting, and he was sitting on a rock. Donnie, you could probably say this better, but they were sitting on a rock together. It was a whole bunch of them out elk hunting, and they were sitting on a rock, these two people, him and this other kid, he's 50-some, and this kid was, like, 26. And the kid shot the elk, so he went down to look. And anyway, it was an accident. Yeah. And this friend of ours accidentally shot this kid. And he's at an abroad class place. And he, you know, is going to be going to trial and all this stuff. And he was pretty much in tears just saying how bad he's fighting, that he is being tortured. He fights it every day, and there's a battle going on. And we talked to him about it, and we said, it's not between you guys. It's a spiritual battle. And we prayed for him, and, you know, so please just try to keep that in mind, that, you know, I know this family lost their son, but this guy who accidentally shot him, everyone in his group was like, he's the safety guy, you know, he's the one who makes sure that everyone does this, this, and this right, you know, and it was a horrible accident. And just pray for him, you know, that I can't imagine. I've gotten into trouble before for something I really didn't do, and I can't imagine the torture that he's going through, because he actually killed someone by accident. And the devil is just, like, I don't even know how he functions. So please keep him in prayer. And Father God, I just, thank you every day. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you do for us, Father God. I pray for him. Father God, you know who I'm talking about. Give him peace. Give him peace over the torture that he's going through in his mind. Just let him know that it was an accident. Please put favor upon him during the trial. Bless everyone, and let us not worry about what other people think about us, Father God, that we are to do what you want us to do. We are to follow you. We are to worship you. We are to read your word, Father God. Just pour into us that hunger to know you more. Just fill us up to want to know you better, and to live more for you, and to follow what you have for us. And I just pray a blessing over everyone here, that you have a safe week, that you continue to just grow in the Lord, and ask for, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I just a little thing, just, you know, every day ask God, you know, what do you have for me? You know, show me somebody that I can witness to, or show me somebody that I can bless. Like, try to do it every day, and just see how it goes. So, thank you.